Please edit this part out, but Florence Pugh, good for her. Really,
Confirm.
really nailed it. What's up? What?
Chris, I'm not gonna edit this part out.
All right, I think we just got our opener. We got our opener.
Oh, come on, man.
Cold open.
Welcome back to a series of utmost importance, the series, the podcast. It's 2024.
Woohoo!
And you know what's crazy? This is our third year, I think, in a row of doing these best of episodes.
Yeah. And how many years total? Like five?
I think this is the sixth or seventh year of the podcast.
Damn. And it took that long for Chris to become a real host.
I'm one of the hosts. My name is Neil.
I'm also a host. My name is New Year Baby. You should have said your screen name.
Oh, my screen name is Tom the Host's Wet and Wild Ride.
Nice.
And we have
and
a
I'm
third host.
The last host, Chris. Chris is my name.
Chris, what's your screen name on this recording session?
Sup, daddy. So.
That's the energy we need going into 2024.
Oh, yeah.
So this the way this best of list works is it's the 10 best things that we each wanted to list this year. It can be anything. It can be movies, TV shows, games, books, life events, news events, molecules, anything, and in no particular order for me. I don't know. Do you guys order yours?
Not really.
I did it by whenever I remembered that the thing was a thing.
I did not. I kind of did it by category.
I'm mixing mine up to make it not category. What do you guys think of 2023 generally?
I thought it was pretty good.
You have to say that though, right?
I have to.
Yeah, because you got married. It sucked.
I don't think I have to say that.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the worst thing I ever...
No, I agree.
What did you guys think of 2023?
There was nothing outwardly awful. I think it was more on the positive side.
Yeah.
There's a lot of positives, I think.
Yeah. I agree. A lot of good things.
Although my dad says the even years, though, are the worst years. So I don't know.
Oh, really?
Even years?
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, 2020, COVID, so like...
That's true.
He wasn't technically wrong then. 2022, probably something bad happened. I know it.
Well, as an anecdotally, 2024 kind of started off terribly because at midnight, I poured something that I thought was champagne to toast, and it ended up being sake.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sake.
And it was really rough to drink.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I sent you all that that screenshot of my face. I don't know if that actually made it through.
I don't think so. But I can picture it.
Oh. Let me send it right now.
I mean, do you think about it this way? It won't get any worse than that, right? It just has to go up, it has to be an upward trend.
It'll get worse than sake. Oh my god. Okay, yeah. Beat up in a back alley.
Yeah. So you got someone punched you.
You know, the best thing about an audio medium is they can't see what I just showed.
We just were quiet watching for a while. Hey, nice mug, by the way. Speaking of audio.
Thank you. Gift from my sister.
What does it say?
A little rascal. Oh, it's just
a dog or something.
Oh, nice. Well, should we get into it?
All right.
Let's get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, sup, daddy. You want to kick off?
I will kick us off. I will kick us off with a movie. For my number one, I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Ah, that was on my list too.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's all right. I have backups for my list.
Part of me was actually like, what if we, well, we all have to work tomorrow, but it would be amazing if like every time we have something similar, we have to do a shot.
Oh, but, that would have been good. I'm on call tonight though.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, no, Guardians made my list. I think it the third installment really solidified it as being the best Marvel trilogy they have, in my opinion.
I agree.
Definitely, yeah. I think, didn't we watch it? We watched it together.
We did watch it together.
You know what we did? We watched it while also preparing studiously for your dance at the wedding. Oh. We did not watch the movie first.
We also watched a bootlegged version.
Oh, that's right.
And we spent like 45 minutes trying to sync the bootleg subtitles to it.
I remember that.
Despite that, it was still definitely probably the best Marvel movie I've seen in a couple years.
Absolutely. They're doing pretty bad. They're setting the bar pretty low. But
Is Guardians a trilogy?
Yeah, right.
Is it more?
What do you count the holiday special as?
I don't count it as
what? Much. How long is that?
It's like an hour.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I mean, were there any, like, minor spinoffs of, like, Star Wars?
Yeah,
Star Wars. Special. Star Wars holiday special.
Holiday special is really ruining it for everyone.
but since there was like a narrative, yeah. it wasn't just like a one-off holiday thing. It was like technically continuing the narratives of all the characters. Star-Lord is dealing with his grief over Gamora dying in the holiday special.
Oh, in the holiday special?
Yeah.
Well, I retract my statement. I would just say it's the best character... I don't even know, like, narrative of...
I would go so far as to say it's the best quadrilogy in Marvel.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh, no.
Wait.
Tom, did you see this movie?
No, I didn't. It's still on my list. I haven't seen any... I don't think I saw any Marvel movies... in all of 2023, although I might be wrong about that.
I think Guardians might have been the only one. Oh, wait, did Thor come out this year, too?
No, that was last year, I think. Ant-Man came out
then
this
I'll
year.
Then I'll see. All right, you know what? RIP to Jonathan Majors. Or not literally, but
his I mean, career. Basically.
Did you see that video of him like trying to stop the fight?
No, what was that?
It's like the most staged thing. These two kids are fighting, and this one's recording, and Jonathan Majors just happens to walk by, like, no, we will not fight. You have to see.
Oh my gosh, this was afterwards to try to pump up his character.
And yet he still got canceled.
Yeah, no, you really should see it. It's almost as good as the Daniel. Sorry to go off track. Daniel showed me this video of David Guetta, and he's like, "This is in dedication to George Floyd." Then he goes, "Shout out to his family." And then he drops the beat.
Freaking David Guetta.
It's like the most absurd shit.
That's wild.
So yeah, so Guardians.
Guardians 3.
That's my number one. Guardians 3 is number one on my list.
Do you guys know David Guetta is 56 years old?
Oh my god.
Wow. Oh man. Wait, Chris, so is that number one on your list, or is that just the first one that you talked about?
Oh, that's just the first one. I didn't actually like rank my 10. Yeah.
Okay, Tom, you want to go?
Yeah, so I picked a movie also. I picked Oppenheimer. Ooh. Thought it was a great movie. I'm a fan of Christopher Nolan. Anyway, but so whatever. It was a good Christopher Nolan movie. I know some people don't like it because it jumps back and forth all the time. And it's just people saying good one-liners back to each other, back and forth, pretty much the whole time. But I like that. I think it's cool. And I loved...
I think it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I loved the scene with the bomb. Like, that was amazing. the bonk testing. And
I like that Josh Peck is randomly
yeah.
in.
Yeah, that's right.
It's time for the Josh Peckissance.
Oh my gosh.
He had the most important job of pressing the button.
Yeah. That's so funny.
When you know I saw what? It. I will. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, why. Even more why I added on the list. I saw this because I was in.
You hate Japanese people.
Well, close. no. I got to go to a screening that someone else paid for at the Alamo Draft House. So I got the ticket for free.
Oh.
And I got a free like bacon cheeseburger and popcorn and a Coke.
Oh, dude.
So I really liked Oppenheimer. That was great.
Wait, yeah, was it Oppenheimer or was it Alamo Draft House?
Bacon cheeseburgers? I think it's the best Christopher Nolan movie in a while. I don't know if it's his best yeah. one ever, but it was way better than Tenet.
Tenet.
Yeah, kind of returned to form a little bit.
He did Dunkirk too, right?
Yeah.
Or was that?
It's a little more art house.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was good, I thought. That was similar, like jumping back and forth in time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was so-so on that. I think it was, some people loved Dunkirk because it was so like artistic, I guess, but I kind of thought it was a bit of a snoozer, to be honest. It's no Batman.
Dunkirk.
Yeah, it's no Dark Knight.
Also, you know, please edit this part out, but Florence Pugh, good for her.
Really, good for her.
Really nailed it. What's up? What?
Chris, I'm not going to edit this part out.
All right, I think we just got our opener. We got our opener.
Oh, come on, man. She's look, it's the floor, it's the I don't even know, the floor renaissance. She actually like Cillian Murphy too. Actually he's an awesome. Just in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, there's a Peaky Blinders movie they're filming this year.
Oh, actually I'm one season away from finishing. It was an honorable mention, like Peaky Blinders, because like Cillian Murphy is kind of a badass.
Was that this year?
It. I mean, I guess I wasn't. Didn't we do a thing where it's like whatever you did this year? It was just like yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you're right. You're right. It's anything that you experienced this year. It doesn't have to have come out this year.
So I definitely I started it this year. Almost finished it, but it's been a good show. But alas,
what a wild ride, you.
All right, I'll go with one. This is okay. Question: if I saw a movie technically in 2024, but it's before we recorded this episode and it came out in 2023, can it make the list?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then Godzilla Minus One.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh, have not seen it yet. Tell us.
It was on my list anyways. I'm putting it here because I was reading online and someone said it would make a really good double feature with Oppenheimer, which I think it really, really would actually, because I'll just give you the background for this movie. It's a standalone Godzilla movie. It was made for $15 million and it's probably the best Godzilla movie since the original Godzilla movie in the 1950s. It's essentially a post-World War II Japanese war drama.
Oh.
Where, like, it would be a good movie even without Godzilla in it. And Godzilla is, like, a metaphor for PTSD and, like, just that really intense Japanese culture during World War II. The minus one refers to Japan after World War II being at, like, zero, like, completely devastated by the bombs.
Oh, shit.
And then the minus one is that this fucking mutated nuclear dinosaur comes and brings them even lower.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
So it's, like, it's a really dark, like, scary Godzilla movie. I saw it in theaters. And definitely, if you can, go see it. But whenever it comes out of the middle. It's like Godzilla is like Jaws in this. He's like just terrifying. Man. He's like a force of nature. And because you care so much about the characters, because it's like such a good movie itself. Like, when characters die and stuff, it really just messes you up, and like stuff happened that I was just not ready for.
They should learn to tame the Godzilla and unleash it in America.
Well, the like post-World War II, there's no Japanese military, so that's a big plot element. Because Japan got disarmed. So they're like just completely fucked because they can't do anything. And U.S.-Soviet tensions, like the U.S. can't intervene because then Russia would like bomb the U.S. type of thing. So it's really actually like a complex movie.
Damn. Sounds pretty good.
I mean, the U.S.
definitely worth seeing.
Use any of those bombs they made to bomb Godzilla.
Well, no, Godzilla is a nuclear creation. In all of the versions of Godzilla, especially the original and this one, Godzilla is created from the nuclear tests at Bikini Atoll.
But if they did another one, what would happen? Would it get bigger? Another one would come out?
They just keep blowing shit up.
That's why we have to become Godzilla versus Kong.
Look, have you watched Monarch yet?
Only half of it.
Okay, never. Well, did you see the one where... Well, I guess it really went, like, the Godzilla thing?
I've seen Godzilla in it.
Yeah, did you see what they tried to do?
Where they tried to nuclear bomb him and it made him bigger?
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
He's absorbing the radiation.
But that's set in its own like continuity, which is actually we should do an episode on that at some point.
We have to watch
maybe before first. The new Godzilla Kong movie comes out, because that's a fun series. This is not like it's a good movie and it's a enjoyable movie. It's not like a fun action movie. It's like a oh no, I hope these people don't die, and also there happens to be a giant dinosaur.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. It's kind of like Cloverfield.
Yeah, but better, just fuck J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
All right. Tom or Chris, who went first?
I did, so I guess I am. Go ahead. Up. My number two. I'll switch it up. I'm going to go with an event. It's called the 9 a.m. Banger. This was the brainchild of Franklin.
Oh, no.
God. More so Franklin's friend. It was on Halloween. It was a party in Queens, and it started at 9 a.m., and I was having a gout flare at the time. So, all this just really, is a testament to how smart I am. The thing is, I had to be at his place at 7 to get changed because I left a costume there and I had to try on this boot. So I was walking through New York City at like 6:30 in the morning, limping with the gout flare to Franklin's apartment. Walked by like these, it was actually the week before the New York Marathon, so all these people were like running by while I'm on my crutches and I'm like trying to keep up with them. But it turned out great because the meds kicked in. The boot worked, and we went to this warehouse party where I saw Doodle Bob.
Ooh, nice.
Oh.
So that was
a you fun. Just drank whiskey?
I think I was in the mentality at that point where it's already flared up. Screw it. Not great, but it was more so just like, one was because they had like an open bar, so it was like tequila. I don't know, like tequila sunrise, some type of like orange juice tequila. I don't know. It was fine, but that would be number two. Was fun.
Nice. That sounds fun. Yeah. Is it next year too?
It's I think it's like every year. It's like a seasonal too, because they had a winter one.
Ew.
Oh my god! And
they're gonna be seasonal too.
Maybe, but the craziest thing is Sean Paul showed up to that one.
What?
Yeah. If you go on their website, Sean Paul, and I was like, we went to the wrong one.
Oh, he went to the winter one, not the Halloween one?
No. Some other like rapper I've never heard of showed up. But, dude, yeah, Sean Paul showed up to this thing, and I was like, why didn't we go to this one?
Dude, what if Sean Paul showed up to the Halloween one but was just in a costume? You wouldn't know.
Maybe he was Doodlebop.
Maybe he talks like a normal British accent.
A Nemo.
No, that sounds fun.
Want to go next
year.
All right, I got the books. The best fiction book I read in 2023, published in 2023. Also the only fiction book published in 2023 that I read, so that made it easy. It is Tress of the Emerald Sea by Brandon Sanderson. So surprise that we talk about Sanderson on the show. But this is part of, it's actually a standalone book, although it's part of the series of the secret projects that he released in 2023, even though it's mostly unrelated to them, except that it's in the Cosmere. It's a good one. It's a good standalone one. It's very different from his other books in some ways, that it's more like a fairy tale kind of way it's told. Neil, did you read it?
No. I'm gonna. It might make my 2024 list. I have so much Sanderson to finish.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I really get stuck on is I try to finish these series that I've started, and I've been reading the Expanse books for the last like 5 months, and I'm on the 6th book out of 9 right now.
Damn.
And one of the other things on my list has actually displaced my audiobook listening on my my commute drive, so I've just listened to it less. So my reading has gone down in the last month.
You'll get there. I've stopped with the new projects too for now, but I'll probably get to them hopefully in 2024.
I got to reread all of Stormlight, so I'm gonna read the secret projects before I reread Stormlight.
That's crazy. All right, you're up.
I will go with one that is going to be a surprise. Oh. It was my wedding.
You got married?
Ooh.
I got married. I got married. It was a lot of fun. Thank you both for giving an awesome speech and for doing a great job on the dances. For our listeners, because you cannot see the color of my skin, I am Indian. And so it was a big Indian wedding, and Chris the Asian and Tom the White, did a great job.
Tom,
Chris, I know I showed you the video. Did Tom? I haven't sent you the video yet, right?
Of what?
Of the dance.
Oh, I don't like the official one.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't think so.
Okay, I'll send it over. I just have to chop them up into clips of the individual performances, but I will send it over. So that was definitely the highlight of my year.
Wait, your wedding was really fun. That was awesome. I had a blast. Yeah, good dancing, really good food. Nice to see everyone. It was my favorite.
It was really nice to see everyone. I feel like I hadn't seen a lot of the Georgetown people in a while.
Yeah.
Who were the lampshade dancers?
I do not know.
Huh. I remember, like, wait a minute. That's awesome.
They were Sonica's bridesmaids. All right, Chris, you're up.
So, number 3 on my list. I'll go with the TV show. I will go with The Bear. I guess I watched
great.
I watched both seasons this year. Didn't really know. What is the guy's name? Jeremy Allen or something? Is that? Or I just made that name up. The main guy?
I mean, that sounds right. Jeremy White or something?
Is it because he's white?
Maybe.
Hey. Tom the White.
It's Jeremy Allen White.
Oh, okay. All right. That's close. I actually did, had heard it was pretty good, but it was about cooking and stuff, but it really, was actually one of the better shows I saw this year. It's got a little Chicago backdrop, which is pretty awesome. Got to see those Italian beefs. Are they Italian? But I'm just going to say they are. I think they're Italian, yeah.
Yeah, they sound Tom, good. Have you seen the show?
I think I've seen the first five episodes, but I didn't finish it. Oh.
I think it's really good. You should watch it.
Yeah.
I like season saying two, yes, chef. Even
better than season one.
Oh, yeah.
And season one was really good.
Mm-hmm. He fumbled the bag, though. Well, that, never mind, I won't say anything. But, yeah, no.
There's one episode in The Bear season two that's sort of like a standalone thing, just focusing on one of the characters. And it's just such a well-done thing. It's like a complete transformation of the character, but it's a completely believable thing. It's just like that type of show where, like, it's in one episode they can do a lot of character work that, like, they've been setting up for a season and a half and make it like a believable journey. All right, Tom, what you got?
All right, I got TV also. My favorite last episode, or sorry, last, not, no, maybe last episode, the last season of a show in 2023 was Succession. I think it was also on the list last year, probably. But yeah,
that's funny.
The show's fantastic. I'm sad it's gone.
Neil, are you planning on watching the show?
I'm going to watch it in like 5 years, so you guys can spoil it as much as you want right now. I'm not going to remember.
I guess you're going to ask. Did you expect, did you expect the guy who became the guy? Yeah. The guy.
You guys can say what you're trying to say.
I was not expecting that, but I feel like some people had that theory for a while.
That Brian Cox was going to die before the end of the show?
No, but that was the other thing. I thought you were going to say that.
All right, just tell me the thing. I'm not going to watch four seasons of TV in the next
episode. Well, he's just saying, do you think the person who ended up in charge, did you predict it?
I mean, Bran had the best story.
What? A better story than Bran?
It was way better, yeah.
It's actually the dragon in the end. It's the undead dragon. No, I actually liked so much. I ended up rewatching the entire series like again after the finale because I was like, I have to. I hate the problem with it is like I just always forget between seasons like what happened. So I'm like, I gotta rewatch this whole thing again. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was an awesome show. Maybe Jeremy Allen is the guy who played... Oh, Jeremy Strong. The guy who plays Kendall is hilarious. Kendall. And then Cousin Nick is also a funny character. But ultimately, a pretty good show. I think it is pretty similar to like modern-day Game of Thrones in a way. That's one way, I guess, to call it. But it was a really good show.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I'm up. I will go with, what should I go with? You all did TV just now, right? Mm-hmm. I will go with a TV show also. I'm going to go with The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. I think I may have mentioned this in one of the weekly recommendations that may not have aired yet, but it's a Mike Flanagan horror show, but not really like a horror show. It's more like it's an adaptation of a bunch of Edgar Allan Poe stories. So I guess, yes, horror, but more like gothic horror than like modern horror. And Mike Flanagan is the guy who has done a few other shows on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor, that type of stuff, which are also really good. But this one was the best of his shows. It's really short. It has a really strong, like eight-episode narrative. And the premise, which is explained in the first like 2 minutes of the show, so I'll just explain it here, is that there's this guy who is like running a really big company, and he has like 7 or 8 kids. And at the beginning of the show, it's like the funeral for the kids. Like, all the kids are dead. They're like adults and they're dead. And each episode is how each kid died. And like, it ties back to a story from this guy's youth. And so it's like a mystery of like, what's the story? And then also like, even though you know they're all going to die, like what's going to happen to each character? And each episode is an adaptation of an Edgar Allan Poe story in some way. That's like, one of them is The Telltale Heart, and one of them is, I don't know, that's the only Edgar Allan Poe story I knew before this.
So, isn't there one where he buries that dude, what's the one where he buries him in the crypt with all the wine?
Oh, the Cask of Amontillado.
Yeah, I remember, didn't we read that for, what's that guy's name?
Mr. Hernandez.
Was it Hernandez, or was it...
Yeah, Hernandez.
The mean guy.
Oh, Caldwell.
Was the monkey paw written? Was the monkey paw
written? Oh, you're right. You're right.
I think something about monkeys is in one of the episodes, so perhaps.
Yeah, monkey paw.
It is... No, that's by W.W. Jacobs.
Oh.
You know what's crazy? Ooh, I think I get all my Edgar Allan Poe references from The Simpsons. The Raven.
The Raven.
Yeah. All right, Chris, you're up.
All right. So I've done a movie, an event, and a show, which leaves, I guess, music. An artist I started listening to during 2023. His name is Rinnie. R-I-N-I. I believe he is in... He's either South Asian or Filipino. This is really bad. But I think he originally comes from Australia. He sings one of my favorite kind of like alternative R&B music right now. I got to see him when he came to New York a couple months ago. He's pretty good. You know, he's about to blow up, you know? Or not, I don't know. He's Indonesian. That's one. That's a lot, actually. That's not just one, that's a lot. That's a lot. Ooh. I'm actually reading about him. He was... Okay, you know what? I take everything back, because that was a different Rennie that I looked up on Wikipedia. So we're just going to go with what I said before.
I'm so confused. Is he an Indonesian alternative artist, or is he somebody completely different?
Okay, here it is. I was born in the Philippines, but moved to Melbourne when I was 13. Okay. Sorry, I clicked a link, and there was another Indonesian artist that also went by the name Rennie, but that was a girl. He was a guy. Yeah. So.
Nice. What's your favorite track?
Never know the name of tracks, but I think it's something with clothes. As I'm clearly stalling to look this up, it's called My Love with BB Borelli, who I also don't know. But yeah, check them out.
Or don't. I will.
Oh.
I yep. will. Mm.
All right. So, best nonfiction book, 2023. I'm curious if you guys have heard of this, and if you have an opinion. But the book is called "Outlive: Science and Art of Longevity" by Peter Attia. Have you heard of that?
No. I'm looking it up right now.
What is this?
The reason I ask is he's a doctor, and I just wonder what doctors' opinions are when a doctor writes a book about what medicine should be like, I guess. His whole thing is, like, he's a doctor, and he's also, now he's kind of like a podcast guy, and he does a lot about like human health studies, and this book specifically about longevity and like how what are strategies for not just living longer, but like have like being healthy longer and not like being like bedridden or something, but kind of still mobile and still like mentally sharp and like avoiding the big causes of death. So it's interesting. I mean, he's kind of critical of like the medical system, which is another thing. And just like the way we've set up the whole system in the US where it's, I guess, reactionary, and he thinks it should try to evolve into more preventative.
I
I think
mean,
that's the
like,
ideal.
yeah, I agree to an extent. I mean, there's a lot of reasons as to why. I mean, I think just in general, I think most doctors would be kind of upset with the American healthcare system.
Yeah, anyone who spends any
Yeah.
time working in a hospital hates the American healthcare system.
Yeah. Not just
Okay.
for patients, for workers, just across everybody gets screwed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I
I mean,
really
there's
don't know who
a.
benefits from this.
The CEOs and those healthcare administrators that take home big celeries, stalks of
I'm not
celery.
part of your system.
Why don't you
I threw it
shove
on
it
the
up?
ground.
I mean, ideally, yeah, because it also is kind of affected by insurance companies and how they tend to reimburse for things. A lot of
I mean,
things
almost
that,
entirely, yeah.
yeah. A lot of things that are highlighted with higher reimbursements are tend to be like higher procedural, or just procedures in general, where it's like doing preventative visits, annual, wellness visits. They don't pay that much, and so that does kind of affect the actual hospital system in terms of what they put the resources to. I can say at least the hospitals of mine, and we are now building a like surgery center. A cancer center. I mean, don't get me wrong, these are things we definitely need, but
Right.
it just in general it dictates how we operate.
The healthcare system doesn't care about people in any way whatsoever. Like if
You're, go ahead.
I'm sure some of the stuff this guy said in his book is probably not correct. I haven't read it, obviously. I'm sure a lot of it is correct though. But yeah, it just doesn't. If you think that the system is designed to like help people, it's just not. It's designed to
Right.
maximize profit for somebody. I don't know fucking who, because it's not me.
Yeah.
The science of like aging and longevity, I don't know that much about. I know that there was a lot of research a few years ago about like the natural lifespan of DNA gets shortened. Every replication, your DNA gets shorter. The telomeres on the end. There's been work on medicines that can prevent the degradation of DNA, prevent like the telomere shortening. But it's just that type of medicine will exist in a utopia. There's so much other stuff that the medical system has to deal with before we're at a place where like the highest priority is extending people's lives. It's in that way. Because you could have like fantastic telomeres and you could still have crippling heart disease, and the heart disease is still going to kill you no matter how long your telomeres are.
But I think all that telomere research is like funded by like Jeff Bezos and like
Probably,
super
yeah. Like, those are the
billionaires who
people
just
who
want to
would
live
benefit.
forever. They're
Yeah,
like,
those
I'm
are the
going to
people who
spend as
would
much
benefit.
money to live another 15 years.
Yeah. I'm sure it is, and that's because they can afford whatever these expensive medicines are going to be, and they also probably don't have to worry as much about like the basic medical stuff that kills most people.
But what this, I know what you're talking about. What this book is more focused on is like, what are like practical things that you can do as like, so yeah, the medical system is not going to help you. It's not your friend. So what can you do outside of that? Which, I mean, honestly, it comes down to like the same shit as always, like diet, exercise, like, have friends. It's like all the obviously all that stuff, but
Friends.
But I mean, I think his point is like, yeah, we should, I don't know. He just kind of like puts more science to it, I guess. Like studies that
Yeah, everything you're saying sounds good. Like it doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with anything that you're taking out of this book. So I'm sure it's a good book.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of is have you guys ever read this three panel newspaper comic strip called Pearls Before Swine?
I think so.
A long time ago, there was a strip where the main character is like in a doctor's office. The doctor is like, oh, you know, your blood pressure is high, your cholesterol is high, all this stuff. You have to eat broccoli, you have to run every day, and then you'll be healthy and live a long life. And the guy's like, all right, I'll do all that. And then what, I'll still have to eat more broccoli and run every day. He's like, yep. And then the guy like just goes home and eats a steak and like smokes a cigarette.
That's true.
All right, I think I'm up.
Yeah.
I will go with I'll go with the exact opposite. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. It's a podcast.
Oh. Oh.
It is the Conan O'Brien podcast where he interviews a famous person every week and they just like have a long form conversation. And he's a pretty good interviewer. And on his like late night show, you never really get to see that as much because they're such short segments. But for example, I think last week he had Jordan Peele on, which was a really good episode. Week before that, he had Joe Biden on.
Oh.
What's your favorite?
Harrison Ford on.
What would you say like your favorite interview has been, or what episode?
I actually really liked the Harrison Ford episode that came out around Indiana Jones 5.
Okay.
It was the only interview I've seen with Harrison Ford where he kind of felt like a real person rather than like a gruff persona. Like you could tell that this 80-year-old man, like genuinely enjoyed his career and his life. And like he was really excited about Indiana Jones, even though it ended up flopping. But like when you're 80 and you're fucking Harrison Ford, it really doesn't matter if that movie flops at that point. You've done, like, you've had the best, like, an amazing career.
It's true. I'm surprised he came off that way.
You're surprised he what?
I'm surprised he came off as like a nice and relatable somewhat person.
No, he came off as like an 80-year-old man who doesn't want to like talk about fluff in interviews, so he just, and like I'm sure most interviews are the same shit, so he seemed like genuinely happy to just be talking about like normal stuff.
Nice.
They seem like really natural conversations with these people, I think is the appeal of this podcast. And it's not like always just about the stuff that they're promoting at the time, although obviously that is mentioned. I think
so. Is that
Ford probably spent like 20 minutes talking about his first job at a department store or something?
I think that was like a carpenter, Conan's... right? Wasn't that how he was found?
Yeah, I think you're right. What were you saying, Tom?
Is that Conan's like main thing now? His podcast? Does he still have a show on TBS? I think
he does not have a show on TBS anymore. As of like a few years ago, he's coming out with a new show on Max, but it's like a travel show, and it's only going to be like 6 episodes or something. But yeah, his podcast is his main thing.
I gotta give you a shot. I've been listening to it a lot, and it definitely helped the drives. I don't know why. Like, I just get frustrated with the drives, but it's eased my frustration and anger. I think he's just generally a funny guy too, which helps. I really like the Arnold Schwarzenegger episode. That was actually pretty good.
Ooh, yeah, that was a good one.
Wasn't as funny as I was expecting, but
a lot of them don't end up being as funny as like you think, but they're still like just really interesting to listen to.
The Bill Hader one I thought was funny. The Thomas Middleditch one and the Ben Schwartz one was the one I was like, they're funny characters, but I didn't think they were super hilarious. The Please Don't Destroy guys, though.
Yeah, and, that was good.
I mean, I didn't realize until, I mean, did you see the movie?
I did not see the movie, but I know he's in it.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I watched. I was like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." But no, it's pretty good.
All right, Chris, you're up.
Man. Okay. On my number five. Let me just see here. You know what? I haven't done a video game, so I'll do a video game. I think I'll start with Hogwarts Legacy, actually.
I gotta play that.
Oh, the backlog of video games is growing.
I keep forgetting about the existence of this game.
I feel the scariest thing is I feel like once you, like, don't get me wrong, I have not really delved too much into Baldur's Gate, but I feel like anything after that, you're just gonna be like, wow, this feels empty. But I will say, having played it beforehand, I think it does a great job of obviously putting you in literally the robes of a Hogwarts student. You get to actually like explore almost every aspect, like the castle and actual Hogwarts itself, Hogsmeade, totally explorable. Very interesting storyline. You know, your boy got a Gryffindor, so, not like a Hufflepuff, you know.
I got Hufflepuff.
Never mind. Not like those nerds from Ravenclaw, am I right?
Tom, what are you?
I think I'd be a Ravenclaw, you asshole.
Which means you're really smart.
You know what's funny? I was talking to some friends last weekend, and Harry Potter came up because I had just finished a Harry Potter marathon, like of the movies around Christmas time with Sonica. And so we were talking about like what houses we were in, because this one dude was wearing like Slytherin socks for some reason, and he's like just like a normal nice dude. And I was like, why do you have these socks? You're not Slytherin. He's like, no. I'm a Slytherin. Like, no, you're fucking not a Slytherin. Shut up. So it's, we got into like deep conversations about our houses. But there used to be a thing, a website called Pottermore, where you would like take the quiz and it would sort you into something. Did you guys ever sign up for that?
Yeah, I did. That's what actually sorted me into Gryffindor, because you could link it to the actual game account.
Yeah.
But my Patronus is pretty lame, actually.
What's your Patronus?
I got a dolphin.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
Really? That's just so random.
My Patronus is a rat.
Uh-oh. I was trying to get the dragon.
I think I'd rather have the rat.
I think you wouldn't... Like, no one could take you seriously if you're like... you throw out a dolphin.
Wait, Chris, can you only dispel Dementors in water?
That's what I mean. Am I like Aquaman?
How long does the game take to play? And like, is the, as you said, the storyline of the game is good?
I wouldn't say it's like fantastic. It's good. It's kind of like, you know, it's good. I wouldn't say like, oh my god, that was the best thing ever. But to beat it, I mean, if you blew through all the main quests, it probably would maybe take you 20 to, I don't want to say 30 hours. It depends. I would also say, though, I think it would actually kind of get very boring.
Okay.
You can learn, like, you basically are limited to the controller, which is 4 buttons, so you're only limited to 4 spells at a time. But you can learn, like, almost all of them, including the forbidden spells? I don't know.
That was, well, I mean, in the movies, they really only ever use... like 3 spells.
Yeah.
So.
What is it? Yeah. Expelliarmus. It's stronger than Avada Kedavra in the movie.
Yeah. Do they know about guns?
That's a good point.
Drop yourself.
Never comes up.
I was just watching the Key and Peele sketch. Have you guys seen this one? It's an inner city wizarding school.
No.
And it's like presented as an HBO documentary about this inner city wizarding school.
That's so funny.
It's worth checking out. I'm on a big Key and Peele binge right now. Like, nice. All the sketches on YouTube.
Oh, you know what? I was watching the first season of Fargo, and I didn't realize they're in it.
Oh, both of them are in it?
They're in it as like a 2 cops or FBI agents working together or something. It's random as, yeah.
He's had a very interesting career trajectory, Peele.
Oh, yeah. I still remember him. Yeah. Oh, go on. Sorry.
No, no, you go.
I mean, I still remember their, like, Mad TV skit where they play gay gangsters. Like, that's the whole bit where they're, like, fighting, but then one tries to, like, come on, and in the end, they're just, they turn out to be gay. And that was, like, the first impression I had, or exposure to Key and Peele. And then they started with, like, the skits and everything, and then, you know, they got big. And now he does his own movies and The Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, he did The Twilight Zone. I forgot about that.
I don't think it did very well, though.
It didn't do well. It got canceled pretty quick, but. All right,
Sunny. I went to a sandwich place today, and they're usually playing like a Marvel movie. Like they have a big TV at the sandwich spot, but they were playing Get Out. So I watched like 3 minutes of Get Out today while I was waiting for them to make my sandwich. Anyway,
that was good.
For me, it was. Early on still, when he was still getting to know the family.
Conan actually talks about that one scene where the dad goes up to him and goes, I loved Obama, would have voted for him for a third time if I could.
He's directed 3 movies, right?
Yeah. It's Up.
Nope. Get Out. Nope, and Us.
Or sorry, Us, not Up.
He directed Disney Pixar's Up. Nope was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was very, like, took weird turns, but it was really good.
That Steven Yeun's character was pretty fascinating in it. That monkey dude, oh my god. That monkey scene, I guess.
All right, Tom, what's your number 5?
Number 5 is best party card game not from 2023 that I bought in 2023. And that card game is Monikers, which was very fun. I bought it as a thing to do. Monikers? I bought it as a game to play at my parents' house for Christmas. And it was a big success. It's pretty fun. You guys should check it out. It's like, it's basically just a mix of Cards Against Humanity with charades. That's basically the whole game.
I see.
Oh, this actually seems really fun.
The tagline is a dumb party game that respects your intelligence.
Exactly.
I don't know about you guys, but like going visiting my parents now, I feel like they are enjoying board games and stuff so much. Like I got them really into Settlers of Catan.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's cool.
So I'll definitely pick this up. Actually, play it at the next.
Eventually, you just need something to do. You've talked about everything. So nothing else to talk about.
Well, you do it to avoid topics you want to talk. You don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
So who are you guys going to vote for? I got Monikers. Let's play Monikers.
Yeah. How about that? How about that Biden guy?
All right. I'll go. I'm going to go with the Spotify DJ playlist.
Oh.
And I will say this is probably the most music, like this is the playlist I've listened to the most this year. It's basically just their algorithmic recommendations, but it's interesting because they have an AI voice guy who is like acting like a DJ. So the AI always like is like, "Hey Neil, what's up? It's your DJ." And then he'll like pick a random like genre or something, or like, oh, here's your usual Thursday vibe, and it'll play like random songs that I happen to have played on Thursday, and you can like click a button and it changes the vibe completely. It plays like 5 songs and then changes on its own normally, so it's good for long drives, Chris. if you're like just feeling like music. But then it'll also randomly sometimes be like, oh, and here's, let's listen to like throwback from like the 90s now. And then sometimes, sometimes it'll give really weirdly specific genre recommendations. Uh-oh. It'll be like, all right, I'm going to mix it up and go with something that I think you're going to like here. It's Afro beats from like 2007. Let's fucking go. And then it'll like just play like really good Afro beats from 2007 that for some reason I really like. But yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing to check out if you're like bored of your normal recommendations.
I see, but it's like I'm assuming like the AI it tails it naturally to what you like listen to.
Yeah.
How do you?
Access? But you can also like change it up, and it'll sometimes pop in like a thing like here's stuff that you don't normally listen to. Try it out.
Oh, DJ plot play. Hey, how's it going? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Okay. Yeah. Let me.
You're doing all right.
Okay, I'm gonna stop.
All right, Chris, you're up.
Okay. Oh wait, my recording stopped. Okay, I mean it just stopped. So, I'm gonna go with this one because it hasn't been taken yet. Nashville.
Oh, that was on my list. Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh.
Honk tonk.
That was a lot of fun.
No, it was a good time. I don't know about you guys. I think it was that's why actually we went. It was all of our first times at Nashville. Yeah. That taco truck is legendary.
Jesus, that taco truck.
I have a photo of it.
For context, we ate at the same taco truck like 20 times in a 3-day weekend.
In Nashville. Funny enough, was also having a mild gout flare at the time. So, to be fair... Most
of your good events are around gout flares.
To be fair, I guess this was a week immediately after the 9 a.m. banger, so it's just a continuation problem.
My God.
But no, it was really fun. I enjoyed eating super clucking hot chicken with you guys and burning my tongue. That was fun.
I also enjoyed our live episode that we recorded.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
A lot of Nelly conversation.
A lot of Nelly.
Also, the last Jack time. Jack Wright record shop. The,
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying the Jack White Record Shop and the Johnny Cash Museum were cool. What were you saying?
I was saying that's the last time we'll ever play the regular full version of the Pokemon game. Next time, I'm going to have half drink, half water.
And for context, the Pokemon drinking game is a huge mistake from our college days that we brought back for this trip. No, that was a fun weekend. We should do something else.
We were thinking about Tahoe, honestly. We should do Tahoe next year.
Tahoe.
Yeah.
What if we did a week in Coachella and then just go to Tahoe after?
Or... Sounds good to me.
No, that'll be fun. I'm just trying to like logistically think of when I can go. But we'll figure it out. Tom, you're up.
All right. I just ad-libbed this one to steal Neil's Spotify theme. My favorite thing about Spotify Premium in 2023 was that they added 15 hours of audio, like free audiobook for most books.
That's true.
Every month, which is great.
That was a good one.
It means I don't have to rely on the library as often. Which it takes like 3 or 4 weeks to get a book, from them. So it's great. I've been listening to way more audiobooks. I just listened to Killers of the Flower Moon audiobook.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Did you guys see the movie yet?
No, not yet.
I did not.
Have you?
No, I started it, but.
I couldn't justify waiting 3.5 hours to the theater without peeing.
Yeah. The book was good.
Yeah, I actually I need to use the Spotify audiobook thing more because I use Audible, And Audible is really annoying because I have a bunch of like credits that I have to use up otherwise, and you can't cancel your subscription without the credits going away.
That's such the
credits stuff. That you already paid for.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. As a sidebar, Tom. I have all the audiobooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know you didn't know that.
Well, wait a minute.
What do you mean all?
Tom, have you listened
I have
to
all of the audiobooks?
Have you listened to Britney Spears, The Woman in Me?
No, I haven't.
Audible gave me a recommendation. It was like, you might enjoy The Woman in Me. No, I won't, Audible.
What is that? Oh, that Tobias Schumke, The Man Inside Me.
All right, I'll go with one. I'm going to go with something that, Tom, you previously enjoyed, but I don't think you have enjoyed for several years, but I think you would again, and that thing is Doctor Who.
Oh. What about it, and specifically for 2023?
So I had two avenues of Doctor Who this year that I would... that I will talk about separately, but they're still one item. So the 60th anniversary was this year. They had, at the end of the last era of the show, where Jodie Whittaker was the Doctor, she regenerates into David Tennant.
Ooh.
And initially you're confused why, because that happened like at the, I think it was New Year's Day 2023, that episode, and then the 60th anniversary specials were November 2023. And there's 3-hour-long episodes with David Tennant. And the twist is that he's not the 10th Doctor. He's a new Doctor. He's the 14th Doctor.
What?
He's only for 3 episodes. And his companion is Donna again from season 4.
Does he have the same personality?
No, he's like a more mature version of David, of like the 10th Doctor.
Ooh. That sounds pretty good.
And it's really interesting. Neil Patrick Harris is the villain of the last special.
No way.
And then, yeah, he's the celestial toy maker.
Oh my
and they got the showrunner, like the original revival showrunner, Russell T. Davies. The showrunner again for the next couple of seasons at least. And then they introduced the 15th Doctor at the end of the David Tennant specials. And he had a Christmas special this year. So the show is in like a really good, interesting place. It's definitely worth watching. And those 4 episodes from this year were pretty good episodes. Separately from they're good. They're worth checking out. Separately from that, Doctor Who has always had a big audio element that I never got into because.
Oh,
like
yeah.
British audio plays were like a whole thing. There's a company called Big Finish that had the license for this. And the 8th Doctor only ever got a TV movie. And then the show was like not picked up. And then it went to the 9th Doctor for the revival in 2005. So 1996 to 2005, the only Doctor, like the main Doctor Who stuff was this audio stuff. So the 8th Doctor, played by Paul McGann, has just like an entire show's worth of audio stories. That's that great. Once you get over like the fact that you're just listening to that, there's no visual component of it. It's kind of just like an audio play slash reading an audio book. And they're really good. They're really like enjoyable stories. They're really experimental compared to like a TV show in some ways. And they're definitely, you know, I don't expect that you're going to get into them. I just think it's, like, for me, for the last few months, I've really gotten into them. And I'm glad I have. They've been an interesting element to the year. But that's why I have been listening to a little less audiobooks.
Oh. So how are they more experimental?
Sometimes in some formats, there's, like, one episode, for example, where the characters are blind to the whole episode, which you wouldn't do in a visual episode. So it's just about them adapting to like the darkness. there's some weird plot stuff that they wouldn't ever allow in like a main series show, where they like end up getting trapped in like an alternate universe type of thing. Just, you know, it's not like crazy. He's not like a weird serial killer now or something. It's just like slightly more experimental stories than are told on the TV show.
Maybe I will get back into Doctor Who.
At the very least, watch those four Doctors David Tennant episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my number six. Chris, you're up.
Alrighty. Number seven. This is probably more of an indication of how sad my life is. We'll take that out. I finally won a fantasy football championship, but not in the league I wanted to, but I still won one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, which league?
One of my co-residents invited me to his league this year, and in the first year I won pretty handedly as well. You know, it's an interesting style. They do two-week championships, start at the normal time. I don't mind that. but it was good. And even better of an indication, kind of hopping off of that, was that it also was with the Rams players, who is my team. And a great indication.
The Rams are your team?
Yeah.
All right. He has a Rams jersey. You never see him?
No. Yeah, I got to put it on.
Come on.
I can't say anything about your team.
The Eagles, man.
Hey, shut up.
I didn't say that.
They lost to our dumb bird cousin.
Hey, shut up.
Cardinals. but, yeah, no, it was finally nice to win one. Just like I said, to not win the league I wanted to. But whatever.
Yeah, but you came in second place in the other league.
Yeah, but winners are remembered forever. Nobody remembers second place.
You're not first or last.
He was number one.
If you're now first to last, Ricky Bobby.
That's a Rams jersey, see? Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Neil.
But, yeah, no. That was fun. It was a good year. Good year. And I'm just going to throw it all on the Super Bowl. So I'm probably going to lose it all.
Nice.
Go Rams. All
right, awesome. Yeah, Neil, you shouldn't have abandoned your old team to the better bird team.
Oh, you know what's interesting?
Just you mean the Commanders?
As a sidebar, I think we're definitely going to – the Eagles are not going to do well. I think we're going to be out in one round in the playoffs. But my dad just told me today that his accountant, who was at the wedding, gave him two tickets to the first Ravens playoff game. So I might go to that in Baltimore.
That's going to be awesome. Because they have the bye, right? So you're going to be seeing like a semifinal match, which is going to be awesome. Yeah. It might be against the Dolphins or the Bills, which would be even cool. Wait. Or it might be Browns.
Would be cool. Yeah.
Browns, maybe?
I think you're going first.
It's going to be a good game. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are you going to buy a Lamar Jackson jersey?
No.
How about Ray Rice?
I still have my Ravens, but I'm not going to buy a Ray Rice jersey.
You got inducted into their Hall of Fame.
That seems problematic.
Hey, that guy really knew how to carry the rock, you know?
Jesus Christ.
Apparently, I was reading an article about it, and it was about how he accepted responsibility for his actions after the incident and devoted his life to turning around his image and helping domestic victims.
I just realized the Ravens probably have a very interesting circle of honor with who's the guy who was supposed to be indicted for murder? Wasn't it? The defensive back? Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis? Yeah, Ray Lewis.
Maybe just don't name Ray the kid Romano. Ray. Ray.
Yeah, the Ray. Yeah.
The Rays.
Ray Charles was not a good QB. all right, Tom, what's your number seven? All right,
I got more music. Just an interesting music an interesting album of 2023, not what I expected. And I didn't expect to like it, but it was pretty good. It was Andre 3000, New
Oh,
Blue
the flute.
Sun.
Oh, the flute.
Yeah, pretty good. Put it on while you're working. There's some weird stuff on there. It kind of feels like they would play at a massage parlor. But it's a generally a good album, and it's good to get you in a certain vibe, I guess.
I like the titles.
Yeah.
The song titles.
The titles are good. They're extremely long. They're rambly. And they're all pretty relatable, too. Let's see some examples.
Nice. I definitely haven't listened to the whole thing, but I've listened to a few songs on it, and it seemed like a good vibe.
It's good. Yeah, I don't know.
When does Big Boy's saxophone album come out?
Ooh, I don't know, but I would definitely listen.
All right, I'll go with one. All right. Chris, this is somewhat similar to yours, but my number seven is football, which for some reason 2023 was the year that I finally, it like clicked for me, and I just randomly started enjoying watching it. Probably because the 2022 Eagles were enjoyable to watch here and there, and the first 10, 11 games were of this year for the Eagles were enjoyable to watch as well. But also, Chris, because you got me into sports gambling with the ESPN bet
oh,
app.
Come on!
and Tom, you gave me the info that like just putting a little bit down makes you like have a little stake in the outcome of like some games that you otherwise might not.
It's good.
And so I've just enjoyed watching it. And before I thought it was just like, I don't know. The outcomes aren't predetermined. Like, good teams can lose to bad teams with bad play calling, and there's like an element of strategy to it that I don't think I appreciated before this year, that like the strategy matters a lot.
Any given Sunday, baby.
Yeah, so that's my number good. Seven.
Who did you place your bets on again?
So I have 50 on the Eagles to win the NFC. I have 50 on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. These were bonus bets that they gave me. I put no actual money down on these. These are, I will only win if I win any of these. And then I think I have Bills, Chiefs. No, sorry. I have Niners, Chiefs.
Ravens?
I think I do have the Ravens.
We should watch the Super Bowl together if it is the yeah. right. Because, yeah. I actually cashed out my Dolphins. I mean, because I actually put real money on that one. Only put like 25 oh, okay. bucks. But I cashed it out like 20 bucks. I might put it on probably the, I don't know, the Ravens or the Niners. I don't see any other team coming out of the NFC. Probably shouldn't say that while wearing this Rams jersey. but,
you know,
I don't know.
You know what I learned in the last couple weeks is I actually was up 100. And then last week, my dad frantically texted me on Saturday. He was like, "You got to put 100 down on the Cowboys to beat the spread by
oh,
4.5."
Oh no!
He's like, "This is a sure thing.
Oh no!
It's gonna be so great." And I was like, "All right, I'll do it."
Oh my god!
And yes, they did not beat the spread. They won by 1 point. So I learned not to take gambling advice from my dad.
Say this: Lions got robbed. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but didn't you guys watch the game?
No, I was at a
no, concert. I didn't find who you're talking about.
What Stupid basically ended up happening with Neil is honestly Mike McCarthy called some stupid play. Was supposed to kind of like probably run out the clock. Didn't run out the clock. Kicked the ball back to Detroit. Detroit ran the ball down, scored a touchdown, like less than a minute to go. Tied up the game, or no, we're down by one. Opted to actually go for two and completed the play for the 2-point conversion, but the ref messed up basically understanding who was eligible and who was not. So when they threw the ball, they threw it to a lineman who the ref initially thought was ineligible, and they wiped the play off. So they got a penalty. What I don't understand, because I don't know if you can do this, but they just kept opting, though, to go for two, which probably wasn't the best idea. They could have just kicked the field goal or kicked the extra point attempt. But in the end, they ended up losing by 1 point because of that. And there's this whole, like, it was basically sports drama for about a week about, like, okay, was he eligible? And then everyone's, like, playing the video over. And, like, it was clearly a mess up by the ref. But, yeah, Lions fans are pissed. So.
That's wild.
RIP Detroit.
All right, Chris, you're up for number 8.
Okay, number 8. I'm going to go back to a TV show. I'm going to go with Beef. Beef, one of the Netflix shows that was released, starring Steven Yeun and Ali Wong. Overall, I just thought it was a pretty good show. That's pretty much, no, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a pretty interesting look. I didn't really know interesting look at what. It was just pretty fascinating. I don't know. Did either of you watch it?
No, I heard a lot about it. I heard it was really good. Like, just a really enjoyable limited series.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be, like, about, like, a conflict between two people that just really gets out of hand, right?
Basically. I mean, I think it encapsulates just the rage of driving in Los Angeles. But, I mean, they all each had things going on in their lives, and it just came to a boiling point. Led to this massive road rage incident where then they just spent the next, like, week trying to make each other's lives worse and worse. But the end, or the second, I think it was the second to last episode, was probably the wildest thing. I was like, what? How did you get from that point to this point? But it was pretty cool. I know that doesn't...
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, I was just going to say, but I was on a long flight, and the person in front of me and a little bit to the right, so like diagonal, watched the whole show or most of it on the flight, and I couldn't help myself but like look. So I feel like I got like the first 7 episodes of the show spoiled for me in little bits and pieces. But now I'm like, I don't know if I should watch it.
And she got straight to episode 8.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And apparently the writers of Beef and then the star Steven Yeun were supposed to star in a Marvel movie. And they were supposed to write and star in Thunderbolts. They're still writing it, but Steven Yeun just dropped out of it like yesterday.
Because he's too busy voicing Invincible.
I think scheduling conflicts because of the strikes.
Shucks.
All right, Tom, who's your number 8?
Okay, number 8. This is personal, like, favorite place I traveled to that's not Nashville in 2023. That's France. I went to France for the first time, Paris and Loire Valley and Bordeaux. It was awesome. I wish I had gone to France sooner. All the food was amazing. Basically, for every dinner, there's kind of like a prefix menu, and you get like a appetizer, main, entree, and then a dessert. It's like pretty good. I mean, it's like 30 euro and you get all of that food. Mm. And then you have like, you know, 4 euro glass of wine. That's really good. You basically eat so good, very rich food, dessert every night, and a ton of wine. It's like, it's not sustainable, but it is fantastic. I'd highly recommend it.
No, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
What's your favorite thing to eat there?
There was some good, like, lamb. I mean, we had, like, pretty much everything. Lamb, steak frites, some good cheeses. I guess I would say it's really basic, but honestly, they're like bread, just like baguettes and croissants. Pretty basic bitch, but I guess it's
No, that's not basic.
Pretty damn good. Bread
is like really good.
Yeah.
Any escargot? Probably the bread.
Did I have escargot? Yeah, I think so. The worst thing I had was
escargot.
Yes. I was saying the worst thing I had was the andouillette, which is basically like a pig's intestine. And it really tastes and smells like that. It was.
Oh no!
I thought it was an andouille sausage. I was an idiot, and I got it, and I ate the whole thing because I think the waiter was really impressed that I ordered it. So don't get that.
This man, your wife's real lucky lady.
Yeah. Neil.
Nice. That sounds fun. Was that the same trip that that you were initially going to do the half marathon on?
Yes. I ran 6 miles. It was full marathon. I didn't do the full marathon. Oh.
Honestly, eating and drinking a lot sounds perhaps better.
Yeah, it was way better.
I will go with a trip as well, Italy, which we went to for our honeymoon, and we were never planning to run a marathon, which is great because we both got sick towards the end of it.
Oh my god! But
the rest of it was a lot of fun. We went to Florence for a couple of days, and then went to Portofino and Capri and Sorrento, that area, Amalfi Coast. It was cool. And did Pompeii on the way back, and it was just really pretty. Should we move to Europe?
I think so.
I feel like my kind there.
I guess you're right.
It's the food was so good compared to food in the U.S.
Yeah,
is it
just like fresher, right?
Yeah. I've always heard it's like, I don't know if it's bullshit or not. Like if you eat a lot of pasta in America, you just feel naturally full. But like, it's so good, or I don't know the way they make it in Italy that like you don't feel like bloated. You're like, damn, like that was good, but you don't feel like. Did you feel like that's true? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. You also, the portion sizes are smaller.
It's fair.
That's true.
But that's a good thing, I think.
Did you
also? You're so drunk all the time because of all the good wine. So.
Did you take the lactaid and get some gelato?
Oh.
Yeah. No, we got gelato. I didn't take any lactaid. Then I experienced. Actually, no, I'm fine. I've grown a little less lactose intolerant as I've become more educated about the lactose people. All right, Chris, you're up number 9.
Oh, number 9. I didn't allocate these well. I want to get this in there then. Spider-Man. I don't know if I can do movie and video game, but I'll just say that across the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse continuation, once again, sequel to Into the Spider-Verse. Did not expect it to be a two-parter, though, which I was a little bit like, darn. Fantastic. Because I didn't read anything, and then I was like, man, they're really going to take on this bad guy. But it's been like an hour, and then they're like, oh... really liked the Donald Glover throwback to whatever the first movie was. Wait, was he in Amazing Spider-Man or was it?
He was in Spider-Man Homecoming. So he was MCU Aaron Davis.
So that was really cool. And then, I mean, just a little bit about the video game. Still think it was probably the best. I think it was better than 1. It was definitely better than 2. But I still think it was better than one, especially when
you wait, to be... this is two. You mean better than Miles Morales?
I mean, yeah. I guess the same, okay. Yeah. Especially when you get to be... Can I say, or are you going to... Tom, are you going to play it?
Nope. No, you can say it.
All right. When you get to be Venom, I mean...
Venom.
You literally just... When you do a super movie, you break that dude's back, and you're like, he deserved it.
It was a fun game. I think, Chris, we're going to do a full Spider-Man video game episode at some point, so we'll talk more about it then. But I think overall, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good in my mind as the 2018 Spider-Man.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah.
I think the reason why I like it is because of all the different... I like the whole aspect of all the... You literally fight almost every villain in the first one, which I really enjoyed. I really like the difference. Like, you literally could be Miles and Peter. And then...
That's a good point.
Yeah. But, I mean, no, I see your point, yeah.
No, I see your perspective, too. We've settled our differences.
Let us drink.
Tom, number 9.
All right, favorite book series that I read in 2023 and that we've also done a podcast on, Mistborn Era 2.
So good.
That was like the one, I think I read most of the series in 2023, and I certainly finished it. It's a good series. I'm looking forward to the rest of the Mistborn series, and I highly recommend people listen to our Mistborn Era 2 episode, which I think has been published, but I'm not certain.
You may think that it had been published since it was recorded 2 months ago, but in fact, it has not. Well, it actually is a really good episode. I'm gonna publish this Best of 2023 episode first, and then I still have to re-record all my audio from the Mistborn Era 2 podcast. And then I'll publish it.
Oh my god, that was the one where the audio stopped. The track stopped recording every time it didn't talk.
The track stopped recording every time it didn't talk. And then also it didn't fully start recording with my first thing I would say. So there's like a couple words missing here and there. So I'm going to do my best to extrapolate what I said.
Oh god.
It'll be a
good
project.
You can just publish it with just me talking to myself, sounding... like I'm schizophrenic.
Have you heard of Garfield without Garfield? Or sorry, maybe Garfield...
No, without the owner, without right? John.
Yeah, it's like a comic strip where they remove Garfield. Oh, no, it's Garfield without Garfield. It's a comic strip where they remove Garfield from all the panels, and it's just about the owner, John, talking to himself.
Oh, my God. An
imaginary cat.
Oh, God.
This is really yes, creepy. But Mistborn Era 2 is a great book series.
Yeah.
Chris, you should read these books.
They're the Mistborn series?
Yeah.
I'm still making my way through one of them. I think it's just the Mistborn one.
First one.
Maybe he started at like the third one in Era 2.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to go. My number 9 is going to be a video game. This has actually been really hard for me to pick one because there's two games that I played a lot this year, Final Fantasy 16 and Baldur's Gate 3. And I enjoyed them both, but I'm going to go with Baldur's Gate 3, even though I haven't finished it. And I'm not going to explain why or say anything else.
I mean, why won't you explain more? You should explain more, so...
Baldur's Gate is... it's like a turn-based RPG. The combat is really interesting, and it's just such a fleshed-out world and story... And I don't think I'm anywhere close to the end, even though I'm 2/3 done with it. I'm like 70 hours in, and I think for that reason it's a little bit daunting to recommend, but it's also, you know, just one of those really, really massive video game experiences, and I think it'll probably be the biggest video game I'll play in a while. But it's fundamentally, it's just a lot of fun to play. And if you, so you can have a good story, you can have like good combat, but if they don't click together, if it's not like made well or with care, you can kind of tell. And just everything about this is like a very polished, great video game experience. So I would say it's just a lot of fun.
Do you guys ever wish, like, you know, you were 10 or 15 years younger, so that this game came out when you were like in high school, and that's all you had, like, all the time in the world
to just play video games? To a degree. Does that mean I lose, though, the experiences of all the previous other games I've played?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no. No. Well, I don't know, dude. I played so much Warcraft 3. It was such, like, a fun experience in my life. Didn't do shit, but I mean, think about Kingdom Hearts, man. I mean, it's not a great game, but I remember that it was a little magical, right? The first time you start fighting the Heartless with Demon, or with Demon, with Goofy and Donald. Like, come on. What about the first time you played Skyrim? Or would you start with
Skyrim? That's true. That was pretty amazing. But yeah, I feel like there's just so much more today. Like, I'm more in-depth experience.
Yeah, there's in-depth experiences. This one almost required like that high school level of time to to get into, and I think that's why I haven't finished it, just because I don't have that time. But you know, it's still doable in smaller chunks. It just takes 6 months instead of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what's your number 10?
Ooh, number 10. I'm going to finish off with finally going to Zion. I thought, kept always saying I wanted to do it, and, you know, flew over there, packed up bags, went out with the mother, the dad, did Angel's Landing, which I was clenching my ass cheeks the entire time going up, met an EM doctor on the way coming down. I told him, I just met some random EM doctor. It was from North Carolina, and we were just shooting the shit while climbing down, and I was like, all right, well, if I get hurt, he can help me. So, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. That's my Utah's beautiful. Zion's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what month did you go?
I went in August.
Okay.
If I were to ever go back, I would actually want to do the top-down Narrows hike. Because I thought that was the most fun hike. I mean, you're just like, I don't know, that was really fun, but...
I liked the Narrows, I think, the most of any of the hikes.
Yeah. It's fun.
I would do the Narrows again. I don't think I would do Angel's Landing again.
I don't think I would do Angel's Landing. And we didn't make it to the top, but I don't... Even the portion that we did make it to, I like didn't like it.
It felt like you could easily die. Like very easily.
Yeah. It felt like as risky as yelling at a guy in a Newark gas station.
Yeah, what kind of idiot does that? Who does both? Yeah. Sometimes
you guys were yelling about the best hike in Zion. He's like, it's the Narrows. You're like, it's Angel's Landing.
No, fuck you.
All right, Tom, what's your number 10?
All right, number 10 is workout routine. New whatever. Best workout routine. It's Strong Lifts Mad Cow, which is a weightlifting routine created by the Reddit user Mad Cow like 10 years ago. It's pretty good. I mean, I don't know, it's very basic, but it's like accessible enough where I've been able to do it, and I have tried lifting weights many times and usually get a month in and then something happens and I just stop. But this one's easy enough and you build up really slowly. It's kind of boring at first, but then it just means you're not going to hurt yourself, which is good in the long run and short run, I guess. Yeah, it's been good. It's been nice to not just be a, I guess I'm still a skinny runner, but a little bit less skinny runner.
That's a good one. Gonna go with my last one, which is a movie. It is Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. This is a movie that came out this year with Chris Pine. It's sort of a standalone. You know, I'm just realizing my last two were technically Dungeons and Dragons thing. It's just Baldur's Gate 3 is based on the Dungeons and Dragons scenario and like the game style, but I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. But the movie was just like a fun sort of medieval magic fantasy movie, kind of constructed as a heist film in parts, and Chris Pine is just like a really charismatic lead for this type of movie. Chris, I saw it with you in Sonic, I think, right?
Yeah, it was good.
I think it was also just like a fun memory of seeing it in theaters where we were driving through a tornado for some reason to go see this movie. But yeah, it was just like a fun, enjoyable movie. There were probably better, more artistic movies this year. Probably better TV shows, but you know what? This is the one.
Yeah.
It's that handsome man too, right? John Paul. What is his name?
Yeah. God, I can't remember. He's from Bridgerton.
He's too handsome.
This was a good year. Good list for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
It's
an odd year. It was good.
Yeah. God, 2024 is going to suck. It's going to be like, oh, I liked that rock.
COVID 2.0 is coming back, boys. I'm going to throw something out there, though. Actually, no, I'm not going to throw that out there.
God.
It was, no, because I realized I was also very lucky in the situation. I was like, does anyone miss just the acceptance of having to be at home during COVID? Like, yeah, because it was like so peaceful. I mean, I also wasn't doing anything, but they're just like,
I don't remember anything from that time. Also, I was
that's why.
Yeah, I was working.
Stop. Man, it was crazy, right? All that.
Do you guys have any recommendations? Do you want to do recommendations this episode? This whole episode is kind of recommendations.
This actually, Japanese miso sauce that I don't... Oh, go on.
Oh, you go.
All right, Chris, is this Japanese miso sauce?
Yeah. I honestly don't know the name because I can't read Japanese. But it's really good for grilled meats. And, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tom, what's yours?
My recommendation is Pokemon Concierge on Netflix.
Oh, that's mine too.
Have you started watching it?
I watched the first two episodes. It's not what I expected, and it was, but it was pretty good.
I watched all four today.
Yeah, they're like all varying lengths, but short.
Yeah, they're like 10-15 minute episodes.
Ooh.
There's only four of them. It was a really unique show. It's just about being happy.
Being happy? What's that like?
Yeah.
Just watch it.
Watch it.
Should I watch it while playing the DLC? The
best poet. The what?
Should I watch it while playing the DLC?
Nah, screw that DLC. Just watch Pokemon Concierge. Alright, I think that is the episode. So thanks for listening, and you know, if you only ever tune into our best of yearly episodes, we'll see you next year. Otherwise, we'll see you in a week or so.
Bye.
Hi.
But I didn't feel like death. Like, I didn't feel...
I felt fine.
Gross. It wasn't until I got back and I showered. I'm like, oh.
There was so much grime on me.
The grime covered up the smell. How old is Pietro?
45?
I think so.
Like, I just realized when he was technically in, like, med, or I don't know how it works with the Italian education and stuff, he was at least a couple years older than you guys, right? Or all of us?
I think he's 30.
Well, they pop out as plumbers, and then they can differentiate after that.
In whether or not they eat the mushroom or not.
Yeah.
Still got some hair.
So do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
No. I've tried too many times unsuccessfully. I know better at this point.
You know what? I do have a New Year's resolution. I'm gonna edit that Simpsons episode into something that isn't terrible.
Oh man. Oh. What about the Dragon Ball Z episode?
Oh, I keep forgetting about that one. Alright, my New Year's resolution is I'm gonna publish the Dragon Ball Z episode this year.
We're gonna have topical references from 2019. What are you doing for 2020? Big things. Big things.